and didn't fight those camels this morning.
It's not that candles are important for us to worship, but they're a symbol. And you notice that I left a candle lit there. Does anybody remember what we named that candle when we did the Advent wreath? Anybody remember? We called it the Christ candle. We lit candles for 4 Sundays, and then at the Christmas program, because we didn't meet on Christmas, we lit that candle, the Christ candle, the culmination of Advent, our expectation of coming, Jesus. And the candles, of course, are a symbol of light. And Jesus was the light of the world and the light to the world. And so today we're starting a new year. And what's important? What's really important in this new year? Well, let's get into that just a little bit. I already mentioned that we're in the season of Christmas. Traditionally, there's 12 days of Christmas. And the 12th day is a day that we celebrate. It's January 6th. And we celebrate that as Epiphany. What's an epiphany? Why do we call it Epiphany? Exactly. I could have had a V8. You know, that's a sudden revelation. Something that was not really expected. I didn't think things were going to go in that direction. Wow! And today we read the story of the wise men. This sort of, from a world's perspective, what happened that day? What happened when the wise men came to Bethlehem? They were symbolic of the world outside Judea and the revelation of God, of Himself incarnate. What does incarnate mean? Incarnate means in the flesh. And so when God was incarnate, that means that He became in the flesh, human, Jesus. Jesus always was, but 2,000 years ago, He came in a way that we physical humans can see and touch and feel and listen to. He came in the flesh, incarnate. And these wise men came from outside somewhere. Because God had said, hey, psst, there's something going on over here. And He sent a star for them. They saw that star and they said, this means something. It means something really momentous. We didn't see it before, but there it is. What is it? Now, I don't know how God got through to them to say, you've got to go to Palestine. But they did. Somehow they knew that. And they knew that it was because of the King. And the King that they were going to see was worthy of the time, the effort, the preparation, the expense of traveling to Palestine. I'd like to read you the story. It's found on page 956 in your pew Bibles if you want to follow along. Matthew chapter 2, first 12 verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Let me just stop there. Several important things. Born king. Already king. Not the one to be crowned king, but born king of the Jews. We saw his star. A tremendous physical something happened to mark that happening. And they came to worship, to recognize his worth-ship. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, they better be disturbed. If King Herod was disturbed, he had a reputation of causing trouble. Big trouble. When he called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Now, I think it's really interesting that already King Herod understood that this had to do with the promised one, the Messiah. I don't know how they knew this, but somehow God had revealed to the wise men and now to King Herod that this wasn't just an ordinary person. And so Herod didn't sit down with his security team and say, we got to find this rebel. He called the priests, the religious leaders, to find out where the Messiah, the promised one, was going to come from. Verse 5, in Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, that implies that they had not seen that star for a good part of their trip. They saw that star back whenever they first saw it. But now, there it is again. And it appears to be moving in this case. And it stopped over the place where he was. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Not a long story, but a story of particular significance for us who are not Jews. We who are not the chosen people. Our first question is, who are the Magi? The word that's interpreted here, Magi, means scientist, magician, wise men, or sorcerer. And it shows up one other place in the Bible. In Acts, Paul is on Cyprus, and he comes to the ruler there, and there is a sorcerer who tries to keep the ruler from hearing what Paul has to say. And God strikes him blind. A man with influence, a sorcerer, intelligent, educated, recognized in the circles of power as somebody to pay attention to. And Paul takes him straight head on and says, your problem, you're going to be blind. And he was blind. These men were powerful men. They were highly respected in their cultures around them. They could walk into a palace. They could walk into a military leaders meeting. They could walk into most any place they wanted to, and people would pay attention because they were the Magi. They had a reputation. And so people would drop everything. And so they came to King Herod. And King Herod dropped everything. And he did what needed to be done to find them the answers they needed to find. These were not just superstitious quacks. These were important people, highly respected. Now, let me describe for you a little bit better from what you know, what kind of people these were. Daniel chapter 5. This is the incident where there was the handwriting on the wall, and you remember that the king, his knees knocked together, the Bible says, and he became white. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banqueting hall, and the queen declared, "O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your color change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers, because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." You see, Daniel was actually made the head of these wise men. And this was in Persia. Persia was east of Palestine, the Orient in their minds. So when we say, "We three kings from Orient are," they were from the east, what those people saw as the Orient. But probably Persia. The Bible doesn't tell us it was Persia, but history tells us that the Persian civilization had magi. These wise people, they had a reputation for fostering them and for great knowledge and wisdom. And so when these wise men, magi, came from the east, very likely it was from Persia. Whether it was or not, it's not important. But the fact is, they came from somewhere to the east and they came with their reputation. And they came with a message from God. Now, God had made a promise. He promised the Messiah, the promised one, to the Jews. In Genesis 18, 17 and 18, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" And to Isaac, God said, this is in Genesis 26, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and will bless you. For you and your offspring I will give all these lands. And I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." How are all the nations of the earth going to be blessed? God sent his son. He sent angels to Palestine, to the Jews. And this baby was born of Jewish parents, the line of David, of the line of Isaac, the line of Abraham. And the Jews thought, this is our Messiah. You other people, you don't count. He's ours. And yet, while Jesus was still an infant, God also made it known to us, people outside of the Jewish nation. And so these wise men are our representatives. And God said, "Psst, come on over here. I've got to show you something. This is important to you. Come and see." And so these wise men came to honor the Son of God. Now, I mentioned it before, but think about it. For some of us, we might take some time off for one reason or another. And when we do that, we might say, well, now, is this worth it? Can I afford to give up this time? It's going to cost me something. And these wise men, they gave up months to prepare and to travel. Hardships. Finances. But these were not just ordinary people that could easily be replaced where they were. These were important people serving important functions. And when they left the hole until they could come back. Because there aren't 100 people waiting to step into their place and pick up their responsibilities. And they said, this is important. We need to recognize what we've heard about. We need to honor God's Son. So what if it costs us time and our fortunes? And He is worthy that we give to Him these expensive gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so we're going to get up, we're going to leave what we have here, and we're going to travel. And we're going to honor what God has made known to us. Now, Jesus was born at a time, a specific time in history. They say, oh, that's 2,000 years ago. Does that relate to us? Yes, it does. Well, but that's way over half a world away. Does that relate to us? Yes, it does. Jesus became human. He could only be in one time and one place. But He came to humanity. And the fact that He didn't travel beyond Palestine, at least not very much, doesn't mean that His influence didn't go beyond that. Or the things that He came to accomplish. In less than 100 years, His name was well known in North Africa, and Europe, and Western Asia, and the Middle East, and India. He reached them. Not physically Himself, but then the people that had learned from Him, that had touched Him, that had associated with Him. And that news, as it came to the various peoples of the world, God said, psst, you got to pay attention. This is for you. And eventually, His name got over here. And God said, psst, pay attention. This is for you. The light has shined. Put the darkness away. Now you got to pay attention. And so God sent His blessing. God said to the peoples of the world, I promised that I would bless you. Here's your blessing. Let me ask you, how blessed do you feel? Look around your community. Do you see people that are not blessed? Do you see people suffering hardships? Terrible things? Yes. We do. And so the question is, why? Why are we sometimes not blessed in a way that we want to be blessed? And so let me get rather pointed here. Are you tired and worn out? Is it because God said you need to rest one day in seven and you aren't? Are you frustrated because you don't have what you want? Perhaps you're coveting something that God says you shouldn't be coveting. Do you have family troubles? Maybe it's because somebody doesn't honor their father and their mother. And that's not just young children. Every one of us had a father and a mother. Or somebody who was rather not blood maybe, but they were your father and your mother. They raised you. Do you honor them? Is your relationship with someone who's significant broken? Jesus said, if we lust in our heart, we've already committed adultery. Are you full of anger? There's very little difference between anger and murder. You see, God gave us commandments that we may be blessed. And we choose not to pay attention. But that wasn't enough. He said, okay, I'm going to send my son to live amongst you, to change your lives, to bless you. And many of us say, I don't care. The only time we use his name is as a swear word. You see, it's not because God hasn't offered his blessings. It's because we refuse to accept them on his terms. And so this year, we're starting new. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions. Most of them fall, by the way, in a short while. Because we're human. We don't have the strength, the willpower, to stand up against all of these things that are coming at us. The only way we can do it is with God's help. And so God says, come to me. I'm offering you the blessings of not only this world, but of eternity. I'm here. I'm trying to bless you. Let me. New beginning. A new year. Put the old behind. Resolve to let God work in your life. If you haven't given yourself to him, do it now. Say, Jesus, I can't do this by myself. I need you. You can have me. I'm ready. Take me. Use me the way you plan, because that's why you put me here, to do those good works that I might walk in them that you planned beforehand. Let him rebuild your life. Let's pray together. Father, nurture us as your children. Bless us as only you can bless. Draw us close to you in this new year. Send us out brand new to be your people. To live the life that you've planned for us. You've given yourself. Help us to give ourselves. In Jesus' name.